Carl is here by phone.
Hi.
Hi, Carl.
I am.
Don
Hi,
Norton.
Everybody.
Pat Walsh. Emily Secord.
Here.
Jody Klein. Caitlin Vargas.
Here.
Dean Corchi.
Here.
Joshua Scove. Gary Wildish.
Here.
Stephen Yett. Kim Thompson.
Here.
Kate Reed.
Here.
Brandon Rogers. Okay, turn that over to AJ.
First, I want to thank the committee for taking the time to come here and assist us in reviewing our community investment plan. You know, after you meet with us and you make your recommendation, we don't see you again till, you know, we are talking about the operating budget. But I just want to share with you the fact that a lot of the work that you do and really ask us tough questions really help us do a better job at putting this report together. And since last year, you guys approved a lot of great projects that have moved forward this year. I mean, just want to highlight the project that you approved for Mobility on Demand. We started Mobility on Demand, a small service in Cottage Grove, and most recently you may have heard about the MGO service in downtown Eugene. And those are projects that this committee really recommends to move forward. So I just want to thank you for taking the time to review these projects, ask us the tough questions, and making sure that we're using taxpayers' dollars in the most responsible way. But thank you so much. We're really excited that those projects have moved forward since we last met.
Okay. Thank you, AJ. Just a quick reminder, if you are going to speak, please turn on your microphone because it is recorded. So just a reminder there. Approval of the minutes. Do we have a motion?
Move approval.
Second?
Second.
Any discussion around that? Okay, it has been moved and seconded that we approve the April 3rd, 2019 meeting minutes. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Items for board recommendation. So we'll start off with the staff presentation.
Thank you. Thank you.
I think it has to be on so it'll record. I don't mind that you can't, that I could just speak loudly, but I think it might be a problem for recording.
You want to use this?
No. Can you hear me?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Hello? Yes. Thank you. This is Christina Hsu, and I'm the Director of Finance. And thank you for being here to review our 2020 through 2029 community investment plan and providing us the important feedback that we need to make sure that it meets our community's needs. This is an annually updated plan that is 10 years. And a couple things I wanted to make sure you are aware. There are no content changes from what you received in your packet. There is a format change. So there's a format change in that LTD is going towards a standardized format for all of our presentations. So between the time we sent out the documents to you and the time I prepared they converted the presentation to our standard format. And what that means is that there is one new chart in the PRISO, which is our slide on the mission. But that's the only change that is in the packet, except for the visuals. And then there's also, we provided some charts because as we were reviewing the presentation, we thought it might be helpful for you to have some charts and graphs. So those are handouts that you should have today. So LTD's mission is the forefront of everything that we do, and the CIP is the working blueprint for sustaining and improving upon the delivery of this mission. The agenda that we have today is to go review the CIP. We'll start from a high level and work down to the granular level. We'll start with the CIP goal, and then we'll move to look at the process. We'll look at the process of how the CIP fits into the larger overall picture, and then we'll go down through the actual CIP process and how that's developed. Then we'll show you the results of that development, which is the 10-year funding status, as well as the projects at a detailed level over the 10-year period. So the goal of our community investment plan is twofold. It's to inform the board and the public about our 10-year capital and operational investment plan. It's also to reflect the board's priorities, the community's needs, and LTD's mission. What you approve here today has no spend authority. It's just a plan. This is the high level, big picture overview. It provides what the board's touch points are, as well as how the CIP fits into the larger picture. So it starts with ideas, and the ideas come from the board committees like ATC, SBC, STIF, as well as from public comment and our community partners like LCOG or the City of Eugene or the City of Springfield. The board then provides direction through meetings and committees, and then the staff here at LTD starts to execute based on that direction. And by executing, I mean we start assigning a project sponsor, we look at what the scope should be for the projects, we figure out what the schedule should be, what the budget is, what kind of funding we could have for the project. Then the project proposals go into the CIP process, where the project steering committee vets the projects and the board approves those projects. And then I'll talk a little bit about the tiering in a little while, but the thing to know is that the key thing is that the previously approved projects that are funded continue throughout the process until they are completed. So if, for example, when we had the West Eugene project, it started, and that is a project that stayed, and you keep seeing it throughout multiple years because we don't stop that project once it's going. It continues to stay in the budget, continues to be of the highest priority. And then the timing of the non-funded projects are based on three factors: the political funding climate, so what grants we are able to get and what general fund we have to match, as well as the board's direction and our organizational capacity to actually execute to any of the projects that we have. Only funded projects that are in our CIP go into our actual budget. And then only projects that are also ones that we have the organizational capacity to execute go into our budget. Once those are in our budget, the board sees those projects and that budget, and that's balanced, and then they approve that budget. So now you saw the overall picture. I'm going to dig down a little deeper into the specific CIP development process. So the goal of the CIP development process is to vet the projects based on 11 criteria. And those 11 criteria are to reflect the mission and service that LTD has to our community. The project ideas are gathered year-round, and then the project steering committee vets the projects against the 11 criteria. And then the vetted projects are then prioritized based on their funding status. The draft CIP then goes to public comment. And our CIP, the one that you guys are looking at right now, went out to public comment on September 22nd. And it will remain open for public comment until October 22nd, at which time we will close it for public comment, but we will also have a public hearing at that board meeting on October 22nd. We then take all of those comments from this committee, from the public, and from the board, and we will update and incorporate those comments into an updated and final CIP that we then present to the board for approval in the November board meeting. So you might wonder, well, what are those 11 criteria that we're using to vet? So we go through this vetting process, and I want to talk a little bit about how it happens and then what those 11 criteria are. It starts with identifying a project sponsor, and a project sponsor has to be a director here at LTD. That director takes and creates what's called a project assessment form and a budget template form, which it answers the questions against those 11 criteria. Now, the projects that are near term, they're going to have a very specific information in them, and the ones that are out 4 years and beyond are going to have more conceptual information. But all of the PA and BT forms are available on our SharePoint site, for the board SharePoint site, for everybody to review. So if you want to look at the detail of any particular project, you can see access that on our SharePoint site. The project steering committee, which is made up of all the directors at LTD, then vet the projects. And the way they vet the projects is they start looking against those 11 criteria. They identify any missing projects. They figure out what is the funding correct? Is the goals that correct for the project? What is the timing seem appropriate? They eliminate any that don't meet our strategic goals here. Then they look at the projects in terms of tiering, and they base their tiering on the funding status. So tier one means that the funding's been identified, it's been applied for, and it's been secured. Tier two means that the funding's been identified, it's been applied for, but the funding has not yet been secured. And then the tier three says that the funding may or may not have been identified. We have not put in an application for it yet, and we definitely have not been awarded those funds. So these are the 11 vetting criteria that we use when we're vetting the projects. The criteria that are in green were approved by the board at the 2018 retreat. We added additional criteria to ensure alignment with LTD's strategy and our expanding leadership role for complementary transit services across Lane County. So partners with LCOG and Cottage Grove and Eugene and Springfield, they're expecting more from us, so we're using more vetting criteria. So we talked about how the tiers identify the funding status of the projects. The projects are then grouped into three different categories, or three different types: state of good repair, improvements, and operations. Within those types, we then classify the projects by area of our business that's impacted. So we have, like, operations is a business area, safety and security, fleet, facilities, frequent transit network, and technology and infrastructure and systems. So an example is we may have a state of good repair project that's a facility project, and that would be like a roof repair, something that maintains our existing assets in good working order. But we might have an improvement project that is also a facilities project that adds additional benefits to our service or to the user, and that might be like having a new transit station. So this is the funding summary for over the 10-year period. The CIP totals $442 million, of which $283 million is the funding has been secured, $34 million the funding's been identified and not secured, and $125 million the funding is unidentified. There's no projects in our current year that have unidentified funding. And if you exclude the operations projects, and I say that because operations projects are ongoing projects, 81% of our projects are for state of good repair to keep our existing assets in good working order. This is a detailed state of good repair projects. And the LTD posted document did not have the detail for the IT hardware software improvements. And the reason that we don't show that is because there's data security risk if we publicly show all of those types of projects that we have. So four committee members actually received a document that has that detail, but you've received a replacement slide for that, and so that we don't share that. But those slides are actually those details are actually available to all committee members on the board SharePoint site. So back to state of good repair. 93% of our planned state of good repair projects over the next 10 years are to replace or maintain our aging fleet. And that's based on, I highlighted in purple here, because based on board direction, they recommended that we reduce the use of our grants for preventative maintenance. So you can see here in the purple highlighted section that that's what we're doing. For fiscal year 20 and 21, we've got $4.2 million per year for preventative maintenance. and then $3.5 million in fiscal year 22, and then $3 million in fiscal year 23, and then beyond that, in fiscal year 24 and beyond, we have zero allocated to preventative maintenance for grant-funded preventative maintenance. And the other significant Tier 1 and Tier 2 projects near-term are for facilities maintenance and technology upgrades. And the reason for the technology upgrades is both for security enhancements, for avoiding cyber attacks, as well as some product end-of-lifes that we have. These are our improvement projects over the next 10 years, and the biggest projects are the Santa Clara Station, the existing MX corridor improvements, planning studies, and the frequent transit network safety improvements. These are our operations projects over the next 10 years, and these projects stay the same as what you've always seen every year. The only difference is that we've added projects based on funding that we received for STIF. So the State Transportation Improvement Fund funded some new projects, particularly some of the ones that you see under fixed route, as well as like the mobility as a service project. And then the only other new one is the fare management system. So the Medicaid and accessible services are the federally mandated programs that you see every year as part of operations. The point-to-point projects are primarily grant-funded, and the piece that we spend on our general fund for point-to-point is for general fund match and van pool. These are our funding sources. For state of good repair, there's currently no current year unidentified funding, and the general fund share over the next 3 years is 15% or $6.3 million. On the improvement side, there's no unidentified funding through fiscal year 21, and the general fund share is 28% or $5.9 million over the next 3 years. Our operations programs are primarily state-funded, about 70%, and then general fund and Fed each fund about 14%, with about 1% for local funding. And then excluding operations, 81% of our spend is for state of good repair projects. In other words, to replace or repair existing assets, and 19% is for improvements. So adding new user benefits or a new service. And that's because the board's direction has always been to maintain our existing services and our reliability and safety. The appendix has detailed vetting criteria definitions in it. That is my prepared staff presentation on the CIP.
This is Emily. I just had a question if you had any budget items that were concerning. I know you said you didn't have anything that was unidentified, but are there any other details that are helpful to understand the background of?
To understand the background of something not funded?
Or? Well, sorry, let me back up. So just the overall numbers analysis, is there any backstory to any of this information that would be helpful to know up front?
Not that I can think of that. Nothing that's coming to mind in terms of telling you a backstory. I can answer specific questions on specific projects, but we don't have any concerns with regards to the funding of the projects, because anything that's unidentified funding doesn't move forward unless we find unless we have the funding. So if it's unidentified, it doesn't move forward, and unless we have both a grant that's identified and match, and we bring it to the board.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now we'll move into the fiscal year 2029 proposed community investment plan, the CIP.
So that is this document, and it is basically, I summarized in the presentation this document, which is what we are asking for approval from the committee today.
Okay.
Can we just start asking?
Yeah, questions? We'll move into committee discussion.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Christina. I know that this is quite the undertaking, especially looking out 10 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't need to dive into that at all. I do have a few questions. What I appreciate is that year over year, what it feels like to me is that this becomes more and more transparent along the lines of what we're doing, why we're doing it, how we're going to fund it. All the questions that I feel like we've been asking get answered before we ask most of them now, which is just my personal experience being here for a couple years too. But I have a question about the increased bus service around on the fixed route.
Mm-hmm.
And what do we, are we attributing that to the STIP funding?
Yes.
Is that, okay.
That's 100% STIP funded.
Great.
So if you look at the operations sheet.
Sorry, that's on page 21 of the packet.
Yeah, so you can see under increased bus service, it's tier one and tier two.
Okay.
So the reason it's tier one and tier two is for the current few years, it's already been approved, the STIP funding.
Right.
But the reason we say tier two is because we're going to apply for them in the future years, but
right.
We're pretty assured of getting that funding.
Great. And then, I have a general question about the CIP details for operations. I know that, it's actually all under point to point. And so it's very much, the potential is that it's all grant funded, and that's why there's a lot of blank spots. But when I look at all of the other operations, there's very few blank spots in year over year. But when I look at point to point, like the stages of change campaign pilot, is the operation of that over at the end of fiscal year 21? Same with the ride share transition. Are we done with Vanpool? No more safe routes to school? Those are all, mm-hmm. There's some questions about those and why they're not ongoing projects. And if they are, how far in advance do we get to know?
Want me to answer that?
Yes,
yeah.
So that we're very fortunate to have Teresa here.
I feel like I may have asked this question last year.
No, it's okay. So my world is in 3-year cycles. And so we'll have projects that we want to be ongoing, like Safe Routes and our point-to-point program. And every 3-year cycle, we get street funds that pay for those. And so then they become tier one for that period of time.
Mm-hmm.
The ones, the stages of change, there's a couple projects that end. That's only a 2-year program, so that we know that's finite. We won't do it again. But we always have new projects that are one time, might be a year or two. But the ongoing things like our TO program, Safe Routes, you'll see a 3-year cycle, and then it'll be tier three after that until we get it funded for the period of time. Usually it's in a 3-year street funds is where it comes from.
Okay.
So ours are a little unusual in the sense that it's all grant funded, and
right.
So if it doesn't, we don't have the funding, we don't do it.
Right.
So it's.
So I think that maybe then what would be helpful, and I don't know if this is muddying things up, because really what it looks like is after fiscal year 20 and some of the projects after 21 is that they just don't happen anymore, wasn't moved to tier three, that's not identified, and there's no funding identified for any of those projects. So to me, it looks like they end. And so because we're much clearer on what tiers 1, 2, and 3 mean and how they exist within the CIP, maybe we could just add that in so that we know that our intention is to continue, but then it becomes tier three after.
Yeah, that sounds great. The ones that I know for sure that we anticipate going on in the long term, we can add it to tier three.
Yeah.
If I anticipate twisting enough arms to get the money.
Right.
So we'll add
it
for the 10-year period.
Yeah, because I know a lot of those functions you guys have been doing for so long already that, okay, yeah.
And Kate, we will definitely do that for the final version that you
cool.
see.
That would mm-hmm. be wonderful. Thank you. I'm just going to keep asking my questions. For the buses budgeted.
Is your mic on?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Just, want me to talk into it more? Okay. The fleet replacement. Mm-hmm. Are we budgeting diesel replacement, diesel hybrid replacement, electric vehicle replacement, other technology replacement?
So
we have Matt here to answer that great question.
I know there's a price difference.
Matt, Director of Fleet. So currently, it's if we're replacing a hybrid with a hybrid, we'll stick with that.
Okay.
Diesel with diesel is kind of the assumption. However, there are some exceptions to that, but that's what we're doing for the near term. We do have that fleet replacement plan that mm-hmm. we're really looking at to figure out what propulsion systems would we do in the near future or in further in the extended time. And that is another part that's identified.
So, okay.
Currently, we're looking. We know what we can get for the next few years, but outside of that, it's doing that. So you do have a different price tag for each of those.
So in the future, maybe in the next couple years, we could expect to see some differences in planning for more electrified or more hybrid or
yes.
more environmentally sound.
Yeah. So
okay.
that will definitely be something
Great.
We're looking at. And part of the detail, if what Christina shared on the board website, you'll kind of see what propulsion
cool.
systems.
Okay, great. Thank you.
If I could, along that same line, last year, I remember we had pretty good discussion about the cost of repair on the hybrid vehicles.
Yes.
And the length of service for the hybrid vehicles. There's nothing like the diesel vehicles in terms of longevity. Is that still true?
So as far as the operational cost of a hybrid
right.
versus a diesel, there are additional costs running hybrid. As
I remember, they're significantly different costs.
Yeah, it is. And I think, Matt, and I think we're going to be coming to the board to amend some contracts, and that is to receive, as part of all of this, how many of each type over the next 12 to 18 months?
Vehicles?
Yeah.
They'll be a little bit as far as the electric vehicles and stuff.
There'll be 10 of them, right, at some point. Mm-hmm. But then we're going to extend the contract with New Flyer for how many diesels or how many hybrids?
Currently, we have 6 diesel vehicles that the board approved that we're going to be receiving first quarter of next year, so calendar year 2020. And then the electric vehicles, that is something that we're working through as far as that. We do have some STIF funding that are identified in the tier. STIF funding as well as some other federal dollars that have been identified as tier
so
one.
I'd like you to correct me if I was wrong, because last year when I went away, I would go out and tell people, well, it's really wonderful to be great stewards of the environment, but keep in mind you're paying the cost for this, because we got to have more money to keep these things going. So one argument would be, like we would in Mexico, run diesels forever. That's pretty good operational. Doesn't do great for the environment, but somebody's got to pay for that. And I was just making sure my understanding of all that was correct. So as we continue to go forward, we can make sure the public does understand mm-hmm. that's a significant investment that we're making and a cost that we all have to pay to make that all happen. That doesn't come free.
Yeah, and one of the projects you'll see identified in the CIP is a systems overhaul of the hybrid units. So mm-hmm. that is something, and I don't know what page it is on, but under the fleet one, there's I numbered it item 5, which is a hybrid system overhaul, and that is taking a look at some of those components that are identified. So. Hybrid technologies, it typically won't last for 12 years,
yeah.
and so you're having to midlife those to ensure that that is in a state of good repair.
And
so
therefore those
upfront costs are more versus just fixing a diesel.
And those operational costs are general fund monies as opposed to much grant money. Is that also correct?
Mm-hmm. It can be. We can sometimes federalize a portion of it, but yes. But yes, the cost of a hybrid to purchase the capital investment up front is
right.
more for hybrid,
right.
and the cost to maintain it is more. And then the cost to purchase an electric vehicle is significantly more, and the cost to maintain it is undetermined because technology is so new. We don't know the cost to maintain an electric vehicle. But we know that I think a diesel 40-footer is about $600, and electric is about a million.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the cost. So, and we don't know that. So you are correct.
Thank you.
Along that, I just have a quick question under that hybrid system overhaul.
Yes.
Because that's a tier three, so we don't have any funding at this point for that. Is that correct?
Not as a scheduled kind of upfront. So if it happens, there's a system that fails, we will fix it to keep a bus on the road. But this is more of looking back to figure out how can we plan for that in advance.
And again, we just don't know because we haven't used them long enough to really understand.
We do know there's failures on those subcomponents. Okay. And we're seeing that, and what we've done is as they've come up, we've replaced those. And that's
but
part of the cost of that system. So we have, I'll throw out a term, what it's called a dual power inverter module. It's called a DPIM.
Sure. Yeah. You know that.
Okay, so a DPIM is out there, and that could be a failure. That takes your AC power to DC power. It switches it to allow for some of the propulsion to be through the battery packs, and that could fail. That unit alone is $50,000, and so we can replace upon failure, or we can be more strategic, knowing that at some point in the life of that asset, it's going to fail.
So operationally, did you find any difference in any of the three types of buses we have during the snow?
I would have operations respond to that. I know electric vehicles do well because they have they're all running, all wheel, whereas a 60-foot bus is difficult because the way it moves the bus. So operations would do a better job at responding to that. Hybrid versus diesel, I think, probably would perform similar.
Yeah, and I don't think that was the factor during the snow. It was actually access to roads. We just got buses stuck in the actual snow, so it wasn't the actual operation of the vehicle.
Yeah, I've been looking for the electric buses out in the street, and I saw some out there a year ago, 6 months ago or something. Where are we at on that? Because when I left the board, there was issues, and I was hoping everything would be going along well, but I'm not seeing the buses.
We have two electric buses out still.
Of the five?
Of the five that we're testing. And where we're at with that is we have enough information about the performance of electric vehicles to be able to say that the funding that we have secured for electric buses, we will utilize to procure, I believe, about 10 buses. We were hoping to procure 11 buses total, but the cost has gone up. So we think that it will probably just get us to about 10 versus 11 buses. And what we will do is, based on us finalizing the testing on these two buses, we're going to make a decision of how we're going to move forward. Because potentially, we could move over with five with one manufacturer and five with another manufacturer, or we can move forward with 10 with only one manufacturer. So that is something we're still working with the board, the details out. But we are committed towards putting 10 all-electric buses within the next 24 months out on the road, and that's one of the projects that Matt's working. So we're going to finalize the testing of these buses over the next probably 30 to 60 days and then have a new direction as to what we're going to do. But the two that we've had are still out there. It's just there's only two of them, so it's hard to sometimes see them. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I've got another question. On your, the majority of this budget is equipment. It's a big deal, and keeping track of that is a real challenge. Do you know your cost per hour per vehicle by each vehicle? Do you have a sense for that, where you're at? Because that responds to your question specifically is you've got 100 plus, is that a fair statement?
About 100.
Okay, and do you know that which ones are the what the cost per mile, cost per hour, cost per, but a relative cost that you can do comparisons between the different because, but there are benefits, and that's the thing that, to your point, is that the environment is important to us and is very important to LTD, and so just because it costs more doesn't necessarily mean that's not good. But I just wondered if you had a way of keeping track of your costs and being able to compare.
Yeah, we do have that. I do not have that in my brain.
Okay.
We have access
okay.
to that.
Okay, no, that, thank you.
I have one question, and I apologize if I should already know this because we approved it. But the MGO is a one-year project, is that correct? And then what happens to that? Will it go away, or is there a plan to keep it if it's successful? Or
so the MGO is a one-year pilot, and what we are doing is we're gathering data on that and determining if the way we have deployed it is the right way to deploy it, or what we learned throughout that 1 year. So we may make changes even during the pilot to redeploy it. And based on the data, we're then going to come back to the board of directors and recommend what we've learned and what the outcomes are. And that may be to deploy it in a different way, not deploy them at all. You know, it could be anything. So we are just open to data collection. The good thing about those vehicles, you know, we can utilize them in some of our other services. You see in your report here under the operations, I believe you guys have, we have here some specialized services. And we have in-district accessible services, and we also have our Medicaid specialized services. So we have some metro services that they could be deployed. These vehicles, I believe, only operate 25 miles an hour. So they're really intended to be within a metro area, not be out on the highway. We would we deploy them. If we ultimately determined that this was not a successful pilot, that this is not the type of service that we feel complements our fixed route, we would just do something else, but the assets still belong to us, and we could deploy them. I think you wrote them. They're really neat. They're easy for even for somebody maybe carrying a cane or a mobility device like a walker. They're very low to the ground, very quiet, safe for the passenger. So we can utilize this investment elsewhere should we determine. We do have the pilot in Cottage Grove already, and that pilot is very successful. So if we end up getting anything like the Cottage Grove pilot, it will just be how do we deploy it differently. So it
and the, if, correct me if I'm wrong, but the one in Cottage Grove has a fee attached to it. So if I call for...
Yes, and that one only has a dollar fee.
Oh, okay.
And if you have an LTD pass, there is no fee.
Okay.
And that one did not have a partnership like we did with Lane County and like we did with the City of Eugene that are funding it. So, but we did not buy specialized vehicles like we did over here that needed that additional funding.
Okay, great. Thank you. Other questions or changes from the committee?
I have a question about the frequent transit network safety operations. Is it under operations? Improvement projects? Is that... the information that is informing what those are, does that come from the pedestrian network analysis, or is that from moving ahead and what we've identified for safety improvements? What is that?
So Tom Schwartz, Director of Planning and Development. So this funding, we wrote a grant through the MPO, and the idea was that it was somewhat based on the pedestrian network analysis that we did for as part of Transit Tomorrow, but also it was intended to, from the standpoint of what the FTN is supposed to do and the goals we have for that, it was intended to provide some resource to make improvements as needed. And so we're looking at different ways of deploying that, somewhat informed by that, but also looking at opportunities where we can use that resource. And the idea is that we would, depending on how this works for us, we might look at going after that money on a regular basis.
Great. And so that would just be LTD-based projects, no collaboration with the cities or anything?
That's a good question, because actually, based on what we're discovering as we're working with the City of Eugene through the Moving Ahead process is that there are lots of opportunities for partnering. And so we could bring this money to bear related to transit improvements that maybe the city is able to match with their local funds through their bond program. So cool. Those are things that we're looking at.
Great, thank you. Okay.
Since Tom's up there, already done some planning on the revision of 8th Avenue. That's all going to get changed with the construction and farmers market. I mean, down the road, next couple of years.
The town square changes that the city is going to be doing. So they're taking the park blocks and they're restructuring that area a little bit with the permanent farmers market location.
Restricting parking, bus traffic's going to be changed. And that's a couple years out, I'm sure.
Right. No, we're okay. That now I understand. I thought there's something else there, but we're aware of that project.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Thank you. This is Emily. Is it possible on the funding summary sections to identify the general fund, where that's specifically going inside the different categories? So for an example, I have a concern that we have a lot of tier three categories for our fleet maintenance, and just wanting to make sure that if we have more maintenance than expected, how do we prepare for that well? Mm-hmm. But also what's matching and where is it going so that we can understand how those general funds are being used?
So
is there a way to see I'm missing?
Are you looking at data good repair tab?
Page 20. One second. My answer might be on page 20. One second.
Mm-hmm. So the improvement, all the projects that are in the project descriptions, are those only tier one or are they all projects are in there?
So on which page are you looking at?
Page 20 in the CIP, Appendix C, project descriptions. Are those all of the CIP projects or only funds identified?
This page?
It's not on the slides. It's in the CIP.
Oh, in the CIP.
Okay. Yeah. You're like, and here's a handout.
So is it safe to assume that the LTD match line item is the general fund contribution?
Yes.
Okay.
LTD match is Thank you. General fund. It's the same as general fund, yes.
Gary?
Yes. I'm looking at the facilities. Trying to figure out how... I know this is all vetted by a committee, right?
Yes, the project steering committee, which is all.
Okay, and that committee is public employees?
Yes, it's all the project steering committee is all LTD directors.
Okay. I guess my thought is that this committee and the board is responsible to all the people that live in Lane Transit District. So we should vet those things on behalf of those folks. And so there's opportunity for disagreement, okay? And I'm just trying to figure out how to be helpful in achieving the different things that you've shown here. Unfortunately, I've got a lot of years on some of this stuff, but how can we, one of the terms that we use is value engineering. Are we spending money wisely? Are we getting good value? And I'm just trying to figure out how can we help that committee, or who could help that committee have a better understanding. I'm sitting here looking at bus gate improvement. Mm-hmm. It's a small deal. You know, it's only half a million. Now, to us, or LTD staff, a half a million, you know, that's how many tires? Unfortunately, not very many.
Yeah.
You got a lot more than that on the road. But to Joe Doakes out there, you can't imagine that much money. And so how do you get yourself in a position where you can explain to somebody else why you're spending the money that you're spending on different things? I live in Santa Clara. Okay. Nobody asked me questions about the transit center. And I have, I have expressed my thoughts on that. And how can we be of assistance to help people understand that we are spending the money wisely at best benefit? And that's the value engineering issue. And sometimes that's difficult. But I just wanted to point out the fact that I feel my responsibility, as it was on the board, is the benefit of the 200 or 320,000 people. That was my responsibility, was to them. And I took that very seriously. So maybe this is just an editorial. But if there's a way to help, it seems like we ought to figure out how and who can get involved to maybe bring some levels of understanding that may or may not be present. Thank you.
Gary, do you mean how do we help the staff and LTD as an organization, or how do we help the community understand the information that we're looking at today, for example?
You see, and I think it's both. Okay. Because you got to help staff to be able to be sure that we can help the folks understand. Because right now people are talking about, what are you out on West 11th, tearing up West 11th for? And if you haven't driven down West 11th lately, you don't understand what I'm saying. But if you have driven down West 11th, that's a valid point for JQ Public to bring up and say, what's going on? Now, there's reasons, and I'm not suggesting they're not good reasons. They're good reasons.
Well, none of them are LTD.
Exactly.
Reason, you know?
No, I understand. But the problem is that it was the LTD project, and it happens to be happening in the lanes that the buses are using.
Yeah. And all the business access is restricted.
And for anybody to assume it's not LTD, that's, it's just not how they're thinking.
Yeah.
Because we're the bad guys. We're out there. But you're right. That's exactly the case, and I understand that.
Yeah. Well, and I think part of it, Gary, is, having this committee and having people, like the four non-LTD board members who are here, be a part of this discussion and make it robust and descriptive and understandable for the community by making sure that we understand what it is. And I think year over year, you were a great leader for us in that realm when I was on the board with you, So however we can continue to do that and have you here to help us with that, I think would be amazing.
And if I could add, so one of the pieces that we're evolving to that this committee will at some point be able to engage us, which is kind of still in the infancy state, is if you notice Christina's presentation, we don't start off with kind of like our service plan. So typically, and I think what Gary kind of, and this is some of the reasons that he's provided us this direction and on the board that we've started this process, is at some point we would come to the CIP and we would talk more about, over the next 10 years, here's what LTD is going to be working on. To be able to do that, we will need to replace this many buses, right, that we have now. And those buses will cost this much money. And if you look at page such and such, you will see how much we anticipate over 10 years those buses. Over those 10 years, we may need a transit station. And the reason we need that transit station is X, Y, and Z. So you will notice a transit station on your CIP that supports that. And then this committee may go, you don't need a transit station, we're not going to recommend that. Or you may go, oh no, you really need a transit station to turn, you know, so you will really be much more engaged. But without that 10-year vision, we kind of just bring you in the closest that we can, and again, at the leadership team, developing projects that we understand support the direction of the board. But we don't bring you the vision and then say, all the projects you see before you support. We're in IT is what we expect, the infrastructure of IT, facilities. So we don't present it in that way, but that is something that the board has been discussing. And then everything always refers to that. Mm-hmm. We're changing bus service because over the 10 years we're doing this. We need new infrastructure because over the 10 years we need that. So that's the piece that's missing right now. And we know, we at staff, we know that's missing, and the board knows that's missing. And, you know, we keep like, we're almost there, and we keep moving towards that. But, you know, that's what, you know, Gary has said is, but why did you select us? What are you doing in 10 years that you're going to need that station? And like he said, when he was on the board is, you didn't convince me that the service plan supported that station. You know, and that was one of those last projects that came about. So we, I think almost all of us inherited that project, but we're moving it and we want it to be successful and we want it to be great for the community. So just because we didn't decide it doesn't mean it's not a great project. We were just not around and we're committed to a successful project. But I do agree, Gary, that that's what's missing. And we hope that that's the evolution of this committee, mm-hmm. that you guys will be able to engage us in that vision and be able to question, is what's here aligned with that vision? You know, just like kind of like you did today about buses, why are you choosing this propulsion over another?
Well, I want to go back to Gary's point because I'm a little bit confused, but I think it's a point I want to understand. So how would they go about doing that? Because I think you're right. When you look at these numbers, it's kind of mind-blowing, but when you think of the scope of what they're doing...
I guess the thing that I would look at is to know that we're looking at spending the money wisely.
Okay.
There's never just one way to do something. There's more than one way to skin a cat. You know, and that's the thing that here it would appear to me that there's one way, and this is what they're proposing. And maybe that's wrong. Maybe there are three different options in that, you know, and that would be fun to know that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I think knowing that they've gone to that kind of, and maybe that's the thing that somebody could say, yeah, we looked at this kind of gate. There's three different kinds we could have done. We could do a sliding gate, we could do a swinging gate, we can go a lifting gate.
Okay, that makes better sense.
You see, thank those you. Kinds of things. And
just so being, how did you arrive at this?
Just being assured that we're spending money wisely.
Okay, thank you.
Because sometimes I see public projects that not necessarily spent wisely. And that's all I want to do is be okay. sure that it is.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Go ahead.
Well, I just want to kind of piggyback on what AJ was talking about, and we do hope to be beginning a strategic business plan in the next month with the board of directors. And so I'm very excited for next year when we get to the CIP process and we have a guiding document and we have our Transit Tomorrow piece where we're looking at service. So we have service and operations and projects, and it all kind of comes together in a way that it hasn't before. So it will be invigorating to see how it aligns in this committee. Because I think, I mean, it's something to dream about things and to talk about visions, and it's another thing to put numbers by it and see the implementation of it and the timeline. So,
thank you, Kate. I this is an exciting time for LTD. You're talking about moving ahead, coming up with some decisions on that, in transit tomorrow, which is an incredible thing, you know, and all that. This has really got to be an exciting time to be part of LTD, because huge steps are going to be taken. And 10 years from now, I think you'll be able to sit back and say, wow, that was pretty good. I totally agree. That doesn't mean there aren't going to be questions, but this is exciting. Thank you.
Okay. So did we want to approve the CIP? Are we at that point? And if so, do we have a motion?
I move that the LTD Budget Committee approve the proposed fiscal year 2020 to 2029 proposed community investment plan as presented and forward it to the LTD Board of Directors with a recommendation for adoption.
Second.
Any comments? All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. And if there's no other further comments, then we are adjourned.
Whoa.
There's thank you.
There's food in that room. There's food in there. Did everybody
thanks,
hear?
Everybody.
There's food if you haven't eaten.
Carl. Thank you, Carl.
Carl.
Yes.
Hi, Carl. Okay,
so that
you do
the quorum.
Yes, Carl. We wouldn't have had the quorum without Carl.
That's just what I'm saying.
Yeah.
When she said that, I